Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and always, as always, I am blessed. Blessed to be awake, blessed to be with you, blessed to have a do-over, blessed just to be a child of the Most High God. But there is no other blessing better than being a child of God, because God loves us like that. We are his children, and he is our Father God. And I am grateful that I have been adopted into his family. Hallelujah. I have been adopted. You have been adopted. We have been adopted through salvation in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I'm thankful to be a Christian. I'm thankful to be a follower of the way, the truth, and the life, which is Christ Jesus. I'm grateful that I have a father who loves me and a brother closer than any brother could ever be. And I love my little brother. I think he is absolutely awesome. And I'm grateful to have he and my sister in my life and all the adopted sisters and brothers that I have. I'm grateful for my family. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. What a mighty God we serve. He is holy. He is holy. You know, as I think about the goodness of God, I think about the word holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. He God first, and all he do takes away everything else. We don't have to walk in fear. We walk in faith. As Evangelist Teresa preached on yesterday, that worry and fear are not of God. Whew, I was like, and she tore it up. Worry and fear are not of God. Cannot walk in fear. We walk in faith. But we serve a holy God. We are in the vineyards of a holy God. We are the sons and daughters of a holy God, which makes us a holy family. Be holy, for I am holy. We need to be holy like our Father God, treating each other with love and respect, goodness and kindness. You never know when you're entertaining angels unaware. And I had a situation, a person come up to my car after I got in gas and told me they were an immigrant and, you know, and all these, you know, of course, I already knew looking at the driver of the car that it was a scam and that they needed gas. And so what I did, I gave them all the change, and I have a little, not a little change, drawer in my car. And I gave her all the change in my car. I said, I can't give you anything with the change. And I looked at the man in the car. You guys are scammers. But I will give you this change because God is going to convict you. God is going to get you. Because what they did was they were watching for cars to get gas. And so I guess I looked Christian and my car says faith. So they're like, oh, we could get that one because she's a Christian. She's going to be there to give us what we need. I gave all my change. I have never know how much it is. It could have been $5. It could have been $10. I don't know. I just gave everything to the next door. And then I looked at the driver as if to say, I know you're a scammer, but I'm going to give you this. And I'm going to let that change be a conviction on you for doing wrong. Because as soon as I looked at him, they didn't stop and use that change to get the quote-unquote gas they needed. Instead, he drove right out of the gas station onto the highway. I thought, wow, God, you show us. My pastor says it all the time. The enemy comes before or after a move of God. And then I said, well, Lord, if you were testing me on being kind, even to the scammer, I guess I passed the test. Because if he had come up to the window of my car, of course I would have been, like, on the phone calling 911, feeling threatened. But I could tell she was doing what she was instructed to do. Because she was little, petite, very sweet. And he was very brutal looking. And you cannot judge people by how they look. We'll be talking about judging today in our word. But it was just, I need gas. You're in a gas station. But yet, when you get the money, you don't use it for gas. You drive away from the gas station. And when he drove away on the other side of the road, again, I looked at him, and he looked at me, and I just smiled because I'm like, I know who you are. You're using this girl and these beautiful children to scam people. But God's going to beat your behind. So we give it to God. You know, don't get upset. Don't get mad. Don't say, well, I'm not going to this because I'm going to continue giving. Because God has given so much to me. So don't let anybody get you off your square because they are not right. You be right. You do what God called you to do. You be kind. You do the Christian thing. Be holy for he is holy. And don't worry about what he said, she said, woo-woo said, what they did, what boo-boo and them down the street did. Don't worry about it. It is not going to matter. Because when folks do wrong, they get caught and God will be their judge. God will be their judge. God will take them down that road. God will be the one that will show them, you thought you were slick. But not today. Because the Lord is holy and greatly to be praised. Let for another day. And I'm praying this morning that everybody's day is better than their yesterday. Let us give God our best praise. For the Lord our God is holy. He's righteous. He's wonderful. Father God in heaven, I come to you this morning thanking you for another day. May today be better than yesterday. Lord God, I thank you for the do-over. I thank you for your grace and mercy. I thank you for your goodness and kindness. I thank you for waking me up this morning. I thank you for just saying good morning, daughter. And I thank you for this mighty word you have given us this morning. I thank you, Father God, for just being holy and righteous, good and kind, but also a good disciplinarian. When I mess up, Lord, help me to clean up. Help me to be better. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for a great day. I thank you. I'm thanking you in advance for this lovely day that you have given me, Lord. I'm thanking you in advance that it be better than yesterday. I'm thanking you in advance for just, showing. Helping me to show others that I serve a mighty Father God who loves me more than anything, who gave his son's life of mine, to cover my awful sinful self. So, Father God, I lift up this word and pray that the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you, Lord God, are the strength that I stand on. You, Lord God, are the hope that I lean on. You, Lord God, are my Redeemer and my friend. And you know my name. And every silver hair on my head, you know it. And you placed it there. Father God, may the wisdom of Solomon and the discernment of Samuel cover all those that listen today. They never forget the love of Jesus and that they walk in his righteousness as we move forward in this day that you have given us. Let us continue rejoicing. For Lord God, you are holy, righteous, and loving. It's in the name of the Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Amen. Whew, giving honor to God, and let's get in our word this morning. For those that are just joining us, moving forward is a Bible study. We read the word of God. And we read it from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. When it is finished. This is a daily Bible study, and I'm coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year. And we read each day. The word that we will be coming out of today is for August the 20th. The way Dr. Stanley has organized this Bible is we read Old Testament and New Testament every day with a psalm and proverb until the end of the year when we are finished with everything and we end in Revelation. So Dr. Stanley has been so kind as to give us life lessons from the scriptures. He may give you a question. He may ask you some things. And then he may give you an example. And so I tell anybody, and again, I always do my disclaimer, not paid by In Touch Ministry, not paid by ChristianBooks.com, but I do say, please, if you have opportunity, go to ChristianBooks.com and Bible. It is a absolutely awesome Bible to have in your biblical arsenal. It is great. And also, if you have opportunity to buy the 365 Days of Prayer for Life, I tell you, I read one every morning, prayer every day, and they are always right on time, right on point. And all I can say is, thank you, Lord. I went to read the scripture and prayer for yesterday, and God flipped the script on me because I had to do a sermon, that's what I call it. It's a small sermon where many gave meditation. Some call it a meditation. I call it a sermonette. And when I went to read the prayer, God spoke through me. And it became a sermon. God is good. And I have never sang like I sang yesterday. I just sang before I gave the meditation. And God, amen. And just showed up. I had chills. Oh, how I love you. Oh, how I praise you. Oh, how I worship you. Oh, Lord. And that is a lament we should have every day. Praising God. worshiping God, loving God, and our Savior Jesus Christ. Keep this in your heart and spirit. And now we are going into our word this morning. For those that are just joining us, we have been in Job. And I'm going to tell you, Job's got those friends that think they know everything. I know this, I know that, and they think they got it going on and know it all. But they don't know anything. Don't know why Job is going through. Well, he must have done something against God, because God would not attack him like he's being attacked. So he needs to repent. He needs to change his ways. He needs to do all these things. Because, of course, we know more than God. And so they're telling Job all his fault. And so today his friend Elihu is telling him all about himself. And Job, you can just say, but Job is not one to say, I'm going to let you talk about me then. And I'm going to just said it. Nope. That's my Job's way. Job is going to come back with it. He's going to come back with something to say to you. So, in our lesson tomorrow, we'll understand a whole lot, because the Lord's going to speak on tomorrow. And so I'm excited about tomorrow's word. But today, let's go and see what that friend Elihu has to say. And it says, moreover, Elihu asked it as to, and he's responding to Job. Do you think this is right? Do you say my righteousness is more than God? But you say, what advantage will it be to you? What profit shall I have more than if I had sinned? I will answer you and your companions with you. Look to the heavens and see. And behold the clouds. They are higher than you. If you sin, what do you accomplish against him? Since are multiplied, what do you do to him? If you are righteous, what do you give him? Or what does he receive from your hand? Your wickedness affects a man such as you, and your righteousness a son of man. Because of the multitude of oppressions, they cry out. They cry out for help because of the arm of the mighty. But no one says, where is God, my maker, who gives songs in the night, who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth and makes us wiser than the birds of heaven? There they cry out, but he does not answer because of the evil men. Surely God will not listen to empty talk, nor will the Almighty regard it. Although you say you do not see him, yet justice is before him, and you must wait for him. And now, because he has not punished in his anger, nor taken much notice of folly, therefore Job opens his mouth in vain. He multiplies words without knowledge. Now, Elihu is on a roll. He said, I got some more to say. So let's see chapter 36 of Job. Elihu also proceeded and said, bear with me a little, and I will show you that there are yet words to speak on God's behalf. Okay. My knowledge from afar, I will ascribe righteousness to my maker, for truly my words are not false. One who is perfect in knowledge is with you. Okay, now go on, mister. So I got my stuff going on. I know everything. So let me just, I'm going to break it down to you, Joe. Because I got to read this part again. It said, behold, God is mighty but despises no one. And now let me go back up to verse number 3, because I love this. He's going to tell you, I'm going to fetch. I'm getting my knowledge because I got this thing. You know, I'm educated. I'm a theologian, and I know you did something wrong. So let me go back to, I will fetch my knowledge. From afar, I will ascribe to righteousness to my maker. But truly, my words are not false. One who is perfect in knowledge is with you. Okay, now. Go on, sir. Behold, God is mighty, but despises no one. He is mighty in strength of understanding. He does not preserve the life of the wicked, but gives justice to the oppressed. He does not withdraw his eyes from the righteous, but they are on the throne with kings. For he has seated them forever, and they are exalted. And if they are bound in fetters, held in the cords of affliction, then he tells them their work and their transgressions, that they have acted defiant. He also opens their ear to instruction and commands that they turn from iniquity. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend the days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. But if they do not obey, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. But the hypocrite, come on now, he's like, I'm preaching this word this morning. But the hypocrite in heart stores up wrath. They do not cry for help when he binds them. They die in youth, and their life ends among the perverted persons. He delivers the poor in their affliction and opens their ears in oppression. Indeed, he would have brought you out of dire distress into a broad place where there is no restraint. And what is set on your table will be full of richness. But you are filled with the judgment due the wicked. Judgment and justice take hold of you, because there is wrath. Beware lest he take you away with one blow. For a large ransom would not help you avoid it. Come on now. Will your riches or all the mighty forces keep you from distress? Do not desire the night when people are cut off in their place. Take heed. Do not turn to iniquity. But you have chosen this rather than affliction. Behold, God is exalted by his power, who teaches like him, who has assigned him his ways, or who is said you have done wrong. And understand that what he's saying, most of it is the truth. But he doesn't understand Job didn't do anything wrong. That God reigns on the just and the unjust, that he allows storm all of us. As I talked about yesterday, my granddaughter and I, she's a cheerleader for a school, and they had a fundraiser working the gate at the state fair. We get there, and we're working. All of a sudden, you see this cloud thing. And the next thing you know, it lets loose with rain coming from every which direction. I had my little umbrella, didn't have my big one, ran out to my car, got my big umbrella, gave my little one to somebody else that needed it. And I'm telling you, it rained to the point where we had our own like little dome of umbrellas, you know, one on the top and umbrellas around to try to keep some of the rain off of it. I was soaked. Soaked through and through. She was soaked. Everybody was soaked. Even under this little red tent, we were soaked. And continue working. And then it got to a point where they moved us from under our tent because the water was getting a little high from the rain. There was little, like little grooves where people had driven, and so they moved us to the road. So we're out there on the road, and we got our little plaid covering, our tickets and our money and our umbrellas, and we're out there working. And we did that for probably about an hour or two. And then all of a sudden, you could see on the radar that there was another major rain coming. And so finally, one of the people that was over the tickets said, get your tickets, get your money, get under the tent, and get in your car. And, I mean, he was like rushing, like run, and the rain is coming. And then we all got in our cars, and we stayed there for another hour or two. It was dark, and people were finally starting to leave instead of come into the fair. And then what we found out as we were leaving is they just closed our gate and started sending people to a different gate. Because where we are and where we were working, there's like a little tunnel that you go under to walk into the fair. The tunnel was flooding. They got the water out, and the water was coming back. And the water was up tall people's knees. So if it were people who are not as tall like I am, it would have been probably up to my waist high. It was an awful day. But I tell you this is what the crux of what I'm trying to say is. God will give you his reminder that he is in charge, and that even during the storms and the rain, he is magnificent. He is the Lord our God, and he is holy. Because in the horizon after the first storm, I look over, and there is a rainbow. And I got the picture. I'll put it out on my Facebook. I tell you, it was beautiful. A rainbow. A reminder of God's grace. A reminder of his holiness, a reminder that he loved us more than anything. And as this man is speaking, as this friend, and I'm putting friend in parentheses, many of the things he's saying is the truth. And he says, remember to magnify his work, of which men have sung. Everyone has seen it. Man looked on it from afar. Behold, God is great, and we do not know him, nor can the number of his years be discovered. But he draws up drops of water, which distill as rain from the mist, which the clouds drop down and pour abundantly on man. Yes, he does. Threading of clouds, the thunder from his canopy. Look, he scatters his light upon it and covers the depth of the sea. For by these he judges the peoples. He gives food in abundance. He covers his hands with lightning and commands it to strike. His thunder declares it, the cattle also concerning the rising storm. So I say this. He delivers a word. And it is so much true. But he does not understand the full. We always talk about stuff and we got to know what we're talking about. But you got to get it. You got to get it. Where, as it says, a person I listen to, he says you got to put it where the ghost can get it. We got to put it where anybody understands it. And I'm not going to say that LSU was not wrong in many of the things he said, but not understanding Job did not do anything wrong. Because, again, that storm that came on Saturday at the fair, it was raining on the good people. It was raining on the bad people. It was raining on the evil and the ugly. It rained on us all when it rained. Nobody is immune from God's grace as well as the forms of life. And this is what it says that in this life lesson Dr. Stanley wants us to get. in Job 36 and 5, he delivers the poor in their affliction and opens their ears in oppression. God wants to use our affliction and the way he delivers us from them to lead us into a deeper and richer relationship with him. We should treat adversity as a bridge to a closer walk with God. Whew, hallelujah. And as I read that, I thought, what is it, just a closer walk with me? Granted, Savior, here's my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let me walk close to thee. We want to walk close to the Father. We want to walk close to the Son. We want to walk in the abundance and radiance of God. And so as we go into our psalm this morning, we are coming out of the 99th psalm. And it says this, the Lord reigns. Let the tremble. He dwells between the cherubim. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above the people. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. Hallelujah. The king's strength also loves justice. You have established iniquity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in that cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance. O Lord our God, you were to them God who forgives, though you took vengeance on their deeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill. For the Lord our God is holy. Hallelujah. The Lord our God is holy. Let us never forget that God is holy and he loves us and he cares about us and that he gave his only son for us. Yes, we are adopted in as his sons and daughters, but one our lives so we could be crafted in a family through salvation, through the blood of the Savior. We are grafted in. We are birthed, hallelujah, to baptism through the grace of Jesus Christ. Love the Lord and know who he is. And I love Dr. Stanley gives us a life lesson from the 99th Psalm. And it says this in verse 1, the Lord reigns, let the people tremble. Why should we tremble when we ponder God's sovereignty? Why should our hearts be moved when we consider his presence? Because he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords who alone has immortality. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 15 and 16. The Lord of lords. And we need to celebrate him. We need to worship him in the beauty of holiness because he loves us like that. Psalm, our 99th Psalm, verse 8 says, you were to them God who forgives, though you took vengeance on their deeds. God's forgiveness is not incompatible with or opposed to his discipline. When we place our faith in Christ, he forgives our sins, past, present, and future. Whoop, he does. But he still promises to discipline us when necessary. Hebrews 12, 4 through 11. We're going to go there this morning. Join me as I get my Bible. As I get the Bible, I get my other Bible, I should say. And this is the Christian Standard that I'm using right now. And when we go to Hebrews chapter 12, tear the pages of the Bible. And obviously, I did love that part. Okay, this is what the Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4. And it says, in struggling against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. My son, do not take the Lord's discipline lightly, or lose heart when you are reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and punishes every son he receives. Endure suffering as discipline. God is dealing with you as sons, but what son is there that the Father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, which all receive, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we have human fathers and discipline us. We had human fathers discipline us, and we disrespected them, and we respected them, excuse me, and we respected them. Shouldn't we submit even more to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time based on what seemed good to them, but he does it for our benefit so that we can share his holiness. No discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your tired hands and weaken knees. I'm going to read verse 13. And make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but healed instead. What a word. Because we are his children. We are his children, and he loves us. And as we go, continue in our word today, in Proverbs chapter 23, verses 22 to 25, it says, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Wow. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. And I just have to go with our title one more time. For the Lord our God is holy. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse number 1 to verse 22. And it says, let a man so consider us as servants. Now catching that, of Christ. For we are servants of Christ as well, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Hallelujah. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. Hallelujah. What it say, God will bring into the light all that stuff that was being done in the dark. Let's read it again. Therefore, judge nothing, because we all put on our little judging shoes and our judge's robes and get our little gavels to judge everybody without taking some self-evaluation. tell you, ladies, what to do with your body. I'm going to tell you who to sleep with. I'm going to tell you who to marry. I'm going to tell you what to do. I'm going to tell you who not to talk to. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell. Because I'm in charge. No, we're not. Judge not lest you be judged. We are going to all stand before our Father one day. And when he asked you, how did you treat your fellow man? Asked you, how did you treat the widows and the orphans? You're going to be accountable for it. How did you treat the homeless and the helpless? You will be accountable for it. Did you clothe? Did you feed? Are you kind? Or did you just judge? Did you talk about the boo-boos down the street? Or did you help them when they were in need? Or did you just say, not my problem? We got to understand we all will be held accountable by God for how we treat others. When your friends needed a place to stay, did you open the doors? Or did you say, it's not my problem? How do you treat others? God will watch us. God is watching right now. How to be here. They're talking about something. Girl, that's not godly. That's not of God. We love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And if my brother needs water, I'm going to give him water. If my brother needs clothes, I'm going to give him clothes. If my brother needs shelter, I'm going to give him shelter. Because I would want to be treated that way. And this is the word one more time. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. Now these things, brothers, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sake, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. We were talking about that body. Well, I'm with Apollos. Now I'm with Paul. Well, I'm with Cephas. Well, I'm with this, I'm with that, causing cliques within the church body. God does not want us to be cliquey. Well, you know, I'm sorry, she's not in my crew. She's not in my group. No, she knew I was not. That's all right. We're good. We're good in the body of Christ. We love each other and we love everyone. We treat everyone the same. Because when you do that, you don't have to worry about, did I say something bad today? Was I rude? No, you were kind to everybody. You gave a smile to everybody. You gave a high five, fist bump. And in some cases, you gave a hug. Because they didn't mind being hugged. Some folks still don't want to be touched. You give a fist bump, you give a elbow bump. Everybody don't like being hugged. So you got to know each person for who they are and don't get offended. That spirit of offense comes from not from God. We can't get offended because somebody didn't give us a hug or somebody didn't give us a fist bump or somebody didn't give us an elbow bump or somebody didn't even acknowledge our presence. Because you never know. They may not have seen you. But they were on, their eyes were on something else. So we got to remember that. Don't get offended over everything. And it goes on to tell us, now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sake, that you may learn to use not in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. At our church yesterday, four of us spoke. Evangelist Teresa, who comes on the show, Pastor Michelle, Pastor Jackie, myself. We all have different styles. But everything that was said came together when Pastor Jesse came up and gave her message. But I don't want anybody saying, well, you know, Pastor Bridget, she showed out yesterday. Well, I didn't like what Evangelist had to say. I'm not worrying. And Pastor Bridget, girl, I don't know. I don't like the way she preached anyway. She always talks to me like, I always got her nose in the Bible talking about, and the Bible says, and the Bible says, and the Bible says. And, Pastor Chad, go show a movie. I don't believe she was going to show a part of the movie and then talk about this and talk about pastor taking out of that. You know, Pastor Jesse going to give us 10 things, you know, about faith and all of that, you know, and all of that. Well, I'm with Evangelist team myself. That's just who I'm rocking with. Well, you know, I'm with Pastor. I'm gonna be a pastor. Oh, hey, creating division. And Paul is saying, not in our church. He says, who makes you different from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? You are already full. You are already rich. You have reigned as king without us. And indeed, I could wish you did reign, that we reign with you. For I think that God has displayed us with apostles' wrath as men condemned to death. For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless, being persecuted. We endure, being defamed. We entrust. We entreat, excuse me. We have been made as the filth of the world, and obscuring of things until now. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of the ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in words, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness? Because understand, Paul was given the gift of apostleship. He was not a disciple who became an apostle. He was an apostle from day one. Jesus called him. Jesus called him after that. He saw the risen Savior on the road to Damascus. He was blinded by the light of Christ. And he was given an assignment to build the church to the Gentiles, to let the Gentiles know who he was, to know who Jesus was. He was a preacher for the Gentiles. Even though he was a Pharisee And let me tell you, he knew the word. Paul was a theologian first, which is why we have all these elegant, well-written letters that we can read today to establish how we should be as church bodies. He was the Apostle Paul, and he was awesome. More people know Paul than know Peter. And Peter was the church foundation, a disciple, and an ace of the Savior. But we don't put Paul on a pedestal and say, well, I'm with Paul, but I'm not with Peter. Yeah, I'll go down with that. You know, oh, John, he says, oh, man, I'll go down with that. Yeah, right now, all that stuff in that book of Revelation, John 10, somebody, we need to be scared. And I creation, confusion. Remember, confusion often did not come from God. And as a body of Christ, we have to love each other. And we have to care about each other. And we can't get all puffed up like we all that. Because none of us is all that. There's only one God, and he is holy. The Lord our God is holy. And we should always give reverence to God through Jesus Christ our Savior. We have got to give God what's through God. Because he is holy and he is righteous and he is our Father. And we respect him. And we love him. And we obey him. And these are some words to live by that Dr. Stanley has given us. In 1 Corinthians 4:5, this life lesson till the Lord comes. None of us are in a position to judge the motivations of the human heart. While the Bible does instruct us to react in certain ways to particular kinds of behavior, when we found that in 1 Corinthians 5:2, we are never to judge anyone's intent. And I did. I just judged somebody yesterday, and I judged this morning as I talked about it. And I asked God to forgive me because maybe they were going to another gas station. I don't know. Maybe they had not got enough money to get gas because gas was hot. So maybe they were looking for a cheaper gas station. I don't know. I gave my change, and I'm leaving it alone. But I had to get convicted just now. There's nothing before the time until the Lord comes. So as I'm looking at this man, judging him, God may be judging me. I mean, Lord, for my judging spirit. 1 Corinthians 4:7, what do you have that you should not receive? In an ultimate sense, human arrogance makes very little sense. Because we never accomplish anything except by using the gifts, talents, energy, inspiration, and even breath that God gives to us. I could not do this without the breath to speak, without being able to open my mouth and articulate the word, being able to read. That's all God. 1 Corinthians 4:14, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. Paul learned such a loving attitude from Christ himself. The Lord does not correct us in order to shame us, but because he loves us and wants to spare us the pain that our sinful actions always bring. Ooh, what a word this morning. And our last thing, a life example. Timothy, a man who honored God. Timothy, born half Greek and half Jew, probably accepted Christ in his hometown, Lystra, during Paul's first missionary journey. Paul learned of Timothy's growth in his walk with Christ and made the young man his aide during his second missionary journey. The name Timothy means one who honors God, and Paul entrusted him with the toughest of assignments in Ephesus, Corinth, Macedonia, and Thessalonica. In an ultimate show of commitment, Timothy as an adult submitted to the painful procedure of circumcision to accommodate Paul's preaching to Jews. The writer of the Hebrews reports that at some point Timothy, and when we go into Acts 16:3, we see where Timothy got circumcised. And we also see in Hebrews 13:23 where Timothy went to jail. Scripture reveals Timothy as a sometimes timid man who early in life devoted himself to the Lord and then spent his young adult years traversing the world to share the gospel. He continues to inspire us towards courage and boldness even when we feel we are naturally lack these qualities. Remember, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, because our Father is always, so we always give reverence to our Dad, to the God who created us. Love the Lord today. Trust the Lord today. Give God your best praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the glory, of the honor, and of the praise. Hallelujah. And Sister Carolyn just comes and puts it all together. Good morning. God is the author and finisher of your faith. Rest assured that he will complete what he has started with you. Have a marvelous Monday. Hallelujah. Our sister in Christ, as always, pulls it all together and takes us where we need to go. Thank you, God, this morning for all of you. And this is our word as we wrap it up this morning. My confidence. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Comforter, I am joined to you. Your gentle and humble heart draws me in every single time. Why would I resist your presence when it is a life I so desperately long for? There isn't anything that you lack, oh God. You know when my heart is heavy with sadness in these times. Fill my heart with your love that brings relief. In your eyes, I see the reflection of my sorrow. What a beautiful mystery that you share in my grief, not just in a, yeah, I know how you feel kind of way. You weep with those who weep. You mourn with those who mourn. My heart is overwhelmed with this solidarity. Thank you for not demeaning my grief by explaining it away. I know that I will see the rainbows of your promises. But in the middle of my heartbreak, you do not rub my face in the happiness of others. Thank you that you are present in my process. I am undone by your steadfast companionship. Can you invite God into your pain? Bring daring to see where he is. And I say this morning, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, family, knowing that you are sons and daughters of the Most High God and that you are loved. Have a blessed and wonderful day. It is a wrap. Why? Because I got to go to work. I love y'all. Have a great day. It's a wrap.